It used to be that people who survived cancer somehow managed to beat the odds of a dreaded life-threatening diagnosis. But now the statistical odds are that the majority of people will survive their cancer and build a new life. The outlook has brightened because of earlier diagnosis, improved treatment techniques, and a new wave of patients who are better informed and more actively engaged.
Hey, how are you?
An estimated 10 million Americans are cancer survivors. Some of them were faces in the crowd at this Relay for Life event in Springfield, Missouri, one of many around the country sponsored by the American Cancer Society to celebrate survivors. They're often remarkable people who emerge deeply changed from walking through the storm of cancer. For Andrew Madison, a psychologist in San Diego, the battle began unexpectedly when he realized something was wrong after returning from a business trip.
I came back home, decided time to get back on the treadmill and do some exercise, and after just a minute, was huffing and puffing. I sat down and caught my breath and got back on the treadmill, and same thing happened. So I believe that there might be some cardiac issues going on. Therefore, some tests were done that indicated a large advanced adenocarcinoma in my stomach, one of the worst malignant cancers that we know about.
And did this come as a complete surprise to you?
Complete surprise. I was in the best of health, exercising regularly, eating well, not feeling any symptoms. Total surprise.
And is this the first major illness that you've had?
First one ever.
Has that been really hard?
It has been hard, especially right at the beginning when I met my oncologist for the first time, who said in a very grim tone of voice that I had an incurable, non-operable condition and that my life expectancy would be less than a year, and that his job was to provide medications to make me comfortable, and my job was to get my affairs in order rather quickly.
How did you deal with that?
Well, I was shocked and then very numb, and then took his comments very seriously and started to organize my affairs and get my family together and so forth. And then I realized, I said, now, wait a minute. These are just sort of statistics out of a book. And I entered this illness or was diagnosed with illness, coming in pretty healthy. And I decided, no, I want to engage with this illness and see if I can increase my life expectancy, if not really push this disease back. So I met with the oncologist again and informed him that if we're going to work together, that I didn't want just palliative care to make me comfortable as I started to die right away, but that I wanted to fight this and that I was up for it.
When I met Drew Madison for this interview, he was in his 17th month since diagnosis. He had largely withdrawn from research duties on the University of California faculty, focusing instead on medical treatment and a range of self-care techniques under doctor's advice that he uses to strengthen his body and bolster his spirit. They include attending a support group, practicing meditation, helping other patients, and utilizing mental imagery. These mind-body practices are now formally taught at many cancer clinics and appeal to patients like Magali Jaguno, a great-grandmother born in Cuba and now living in Miami.
They said that I had a rare type of cancer called multiple myeloma and that the primary tumor is in one of my ribs. So that came as a very big shock to me. And then I started to educate myself on what this type of cancer is and what it does to you. And I really got very scared because the complications are very serious, because it's not curable. And I mean, I felt that I was losing my independence, that I was now going to be tied to a machine, that I was going to have chemotherapy constantly. It was very scary.
Almost everyone diagnosed with cancer must confront their fears, both real and imagined. Health psychologist Ann Webster leads groups of cancer patients at Harvard University's Mind-Body Medical Institute.
Negative thoughts run the whole gamut of, you know, from being shocked to being anxious and worried to being sad and depressed to being angry, feeling helpless, hopeless, all over the place. Many of them are negative thoughts that are around death and dying. I'm not going to be around to see my son grow up. I'm not going to be around to see my daughter get married. I want to be here for my first grandchild. And so they're worrying about all kinds of things in the future. So there's a lot of jumping to conclusions about things. There's a lot of fortune-telling. There's a lot of magnification.
Magnification?
Taking things that might be relatively small and controllable and turning them into big dramas.
You know, in our culture, cancer is kind of the boogeyman, and it brings out all of the fears and all of the terrors.
Physician and author Martin Rossman in Green Bay, California, near San Francisco, teaches mind-body techniques to his cancer patients.
Even with the current state of cancer treatment, we think that 50 to 55% of cancers are survived by people with conventional cancer care. So cancer does not equal death, but in a lot of people's minds, it does. The person has an image. Oh, my God, I'm a dead man. And they may have a kind of cancer that's 90% curable. But they hear the word cancer and they go into terror and they go down the lane of what cancer means to them. And then everybody's got an opinion. If you see three different oncologists, you might get three different opinions about how to treat this cancer. And then if you see a Chinese medicine practitioner, you'll get another opinion. And if you see a nutritionist, you'll get another opinion. And your neighbor will have an opinion about what their Aunt Millie did to get rid of their cancer. And then you'll go on the internet. And you'll get a huge amount of information, and people will send you books and CDs, and you'll have a stack next to your table.
Usually well-meaning.
Very well-meaning. People are trying to help. But one of the challenges, one of what I think are the unique challenges to a cancer diagnosis in the first several weeks, is you're in shock or trauma, you're very frightened, you're trying to analyze a huge amount of data, which is difficult for even an oncologist who spent their whole adult life studying it. And then the final factor that I think is especially difficult is even if you're very clear on what the treatment is, and it's not ambiguous and it's not conflicted, the treatments that you're offered are very difficult to take anyhow.